Your Bibles, I want you to be turning to the book of Genesis, chapter number 48. Genesis, chapter number 48. It is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. I thank Him for the good day that He has blessed us with. I appreciate the good singing tonight. Glad we have somebody to sing about. Our singing finds its basis through Jesus Christ and what He did for us at Calvary. And I appreciate these men singing. I just wish they'd get this boy a fiddle that he could. They ain't got one big enough. I always like to hear a good bass like that. But it's a joy to be back here at True Gospel Baptist Church. And the Lord has given us traveling mercies. I appreciate Brother Mike Ryan riding with me tonight. And appreciate the Lord looking out for us. I just want you to open up your heart to what the Lord would say to you in these services. And if you're willing and able, would you stand as we read this portion of God's Word? You'll find that Joseph is bringing his two sons, Manasseh, which is the elder, and Ephraim, who is the younger, to be blessed by Jacob, the father of Joseph. And according to verse number 5, Jacob brings Ephraim and Manasseh into his family, not as grandchildren, but he adopts them as sons, like Simeon and Levi. And this takes place as Jacob blesses Ephraim and Manasseh. I want to pick up my reading at verse number 13. And Joseph took them, both Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand was upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me my life long, unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lad. And let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them go up into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God, make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. You can be seated tonight. In the Old Testament, there is much emphasis placed upon being the firstborn son. Joseph was bringing Manasseh, who was his eldest son, and Ephraim, who was the younger son, to be blessed by his father, Jacob. It is apparent from what took place that the blessing of the firstborn was administered by laying one's right hand upon the head of the eldest son. The firstborn would receive a double portion of his father's inheritance. The firstborn would take the responsibility of worship. If something occurred that his father was unable to do so, it was also the responsibility of the firstborn to marry any brother's widow whom had no seed to his name, to raise up seed so his dead brother's name would live on in the genealogy. And Joseph brings Ephraim toward Jacob's left hand, and he brings Manasseh toward Jacob's right hand. And the Bible said that Ephraim, or Jacob, took his right hand and laid it over on the head of Ephraim. And then he took his left hand and laid it on the head of Manasseh, his hands being guided wittingly. Tonight, it is evident that when Jacob done this, he had to cross his arms. And tonight, beneath the crossing of those arms, Jacob began to bestow the blessings of God upon their lives. Tonight, I'm glad that I can identify with Manasseh and Ephraim,
For there was a day when I bowed beneath another cross.
Yes,
not the crossing of arms, but the cross of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and beneath the shadow of that cross, God has administered his blessings that are eternal in value and merit.
Yes.
Tonight, I want us to look at blessings beneath the shadow of the old rugged cross. I'm glad even in the Old Testament, there is a picture of our Savior. I'm glad that in the entire Bible, the Bible speaks of what our Savior come to do. Tonight, I just want to mention a couple of things because I believe you and I are living too far away from the shadow of that old rugged cross. Our hearts have grown cold. Our spirits have become dull. Our enthusiasm has waned. And God help us to be moved at the fact that Christ died and gave his life for our sins. Died for somebody like I was. Oh, bless his name tonight. It ought to mean something to us. And we ought to live beneath the shadow of that old rugged cross. Tonight, I want to make mention of two things. I want to say something about the message that is seen beneath the crossing of these arms. As I mentioned to begin with in verse number 5, what actually was taking place was that Jacob was bringing Ephraim and Manasseh into his family, not as grandchildren, but as sons. They were positioned and placed as sons in the family of Jacob, as Simeon and Levi. You'll find that this is probably the first time that adoption is seen in the Word of God. Jacob is adopting Ephraim and Manasseh. They are placed as sons in the lineage of Jacob. I'm glad I can identify with adoption. For Peter says it like this, we should show forth the praises of him who brought us out of darkness and placed us in to the marvelous light, who were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. There was a day when we had no family. There was a time we were orphaned. We were outcast. We were sinners lost. But I'm glad for that night when the Lord took me in. Oh, what a day that was in my life. I had no status. I had no name. I had no prominence. I had no position. But I'm glad when he brought me in, he gave me his name. I'm glad when he brought me in, he gave me his heritage. I'm glad when he brought me in, he made me part of his family. I didn't have a father, but I'm glad he became my father. Glory, that's what happened to Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Jacob. He brought them in to his family. The message of adoption had to do with the sons of Joseph. They were brought in. But you'll find that this message of adoption does not just deal with the sons of Joseph, but it also has something to do with the son of Jacob. For the Bible said in verse 15 that he blessed Joseph. You say, preacher, I thought he was blessing Ephraim and Manasseh. He was. But in actuality, he was blessing his son Joseph. And at the end of the chapter, he announces to Joseph that I'm giving you a double portion above thy brethren. There wasn't going to be just one tribe in the lineage of Jacob connected to Joseph. There was going to be two tribes. Every other tribe, there was only one son that was recognized and identified. But every time they referred to Manasseh and Ephraim, they were related to Joseph. A double portion was given to him. Tonight I am glad that adoption means you and I have been brought into God's family. But there's something far greater than that that occurs. God is actually honoring his son. God is exalting his son. God is magnifying his son Jesus. Every time a soul is saved by God's grace, what a joy and peace he gives. But God is lifting up Jesus. God is honoring Jesus. I'm glad he said, wherefore God hath highly exalted him, giving him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and confess that he's Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every time a sinner is saved, Christ is magnified. The Son of God is honored. He is lifted up. Hallelujah, tonight. What a Savior he is. The message. But I want to say something about the meeting place where these arms of Jacob were crossed. For you see, this did not occur at Joseph's house. This occurred at Jacob's house. Jacob did not go to Joseph's abode, but Joseph came to Jacob's abode. And tonight, thank God for the meeting place. I'm glad for the importance and the blessing that the house of God affords every one of God's children. Tonight, Joseph is coming to his father's house. Oh, what a privilege we have to come to our father's house tonight. Oh, I'm glad sometimes he will pay you and I a visit at our house. But all the times that we have come to his house and he has administered his blessings. He has bestowed his favor and grace upon our life. I'm glad there's times I've come and I've felt his hand rest on my life. Oh, what an honor, what a blessing, what an encouragement it is to be in the Father's house. You'll find that this is a place of welcome. If you read verses 1 and 2, you'll find that one told Jacob that Joseph and his boys are coming to see you. And the Bible said that Jacob strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. He didn't turn over and say, tell them to come back another day. There were no guards at the gate that turned Joseph and his sons away. No, there was an open door of hospitality and welcome. There was a sense of excitement and enthusiasm in Jacob. He was weak because of his age. But when he heard that Joseph and his boys were coming to his house, it stirred something up in old Jacob, and he sat up upon the bed. I just wonder tonight, is there a sense of joy in our Father's heart when on Sunday morning he's looking down at us and we're making our way to his house? Oh, could he be excited and thrilled that his children are coming down to his house? Oh, there is a welcome. There is a spirit of hospitality. There is no bars. There are no shut doors. But they are welcomed into Jacob's presence. And that's the way it ought to be when we come to God's house. It's a place of welcome. But I want to say it's also a place of weakness. In this chapter, in verse number 10, it said, now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. At the end of chapter 47, it is announced that Jacob is soon going to die. He announces it here in this chapter that he will die. His body has grown tired. His faculties are weak. His eyes are dim. His strength is not what it used to be. He stands on his staff, leaning on his staff, because there's not enough strength to hold his body up in his loins and his knees without the help of his staff. And tonight, he lays his hands on Ephraim and Manasseh, and you would think that the blessings that Jacob bestows upon those boys of such magnitude and such impact should have come from someone robust, someone who was strong, someone who had stamina. But out of the weakness of Jacob's body, he begins to transfer the blessings upon the heads of these two boys. Aren't you glad that God has always taken the weak things to do his work? He has chosen the weak to confound the strong. He's chosen the base things of this world to confound the wise. Oh, tonight, I'm glad he's taken a man with a rod in his hand by the name of Moses and divided the Red Sea. Took a little shepherd boy by the name of David and slew a giant. And he died on a cross, despised by man, ridiculed by the world. The world looked at the cross and they said, what a shame. But I look at the cross tonight and I say, what a Savior. Hallelujah. The world looked at it. To the Greek it was foolishness, and to the Jew it was a stumbling block. But to us who believe, it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. I'm glad even in weakness, God manifests his blessing. There's a third thing tonight. It's not only a place of welcome and a place of weakness, but you'll find that it is a place of worship. The Hebrew writer says that as he blessed the sons of Joseph, that he leaned on his staff and worshiped. Did you know, for most Baptists, they think the most important service they ever have is business meeting. I mean, they think it's so important they got to have one every month. Ain't no use to have business unless you got business to bring up. I'm just simply saying tonight, this wasn't a business meeting. This was a worship service. And I'm just here to tell you, the church needs to go to worshiping again. We've lost that awe of God. We come into church, we sing the songs, we hear the scriptures, we hear the message, we're unmoved and untouched. We walk out cold and hard. We ought to come to church again with our hearts warm and our spirits in tune with heaven. And when they go to singing about him, it ought to stir something up in us. This was a place of worship. And when they worshiped, that's when Jacob administered the blessings upon Ephraim and Manasseh. Seen it work time and time again. What we need to do is worship. I was in a meeting some weeks ago, began the meeting with a message on worship. It's what God put in my heart. I was just trying to magnify who he was and what he'd done for me. And in the invitation, there was a person who came that the Holy Ghost dealt with. And there's some business transacted in that person's life that has made a difference in their home. I didn't preach about the home. I didn't mention nothing about the home. I just tried to get people's eyes on Jesus. And folks began to worship and began to magnify God over the church building. And about that time, I seen that person walk out. child. Come toward God. I'm just here to tell you, we've got it all wrong. We want to come to church and we say, well, if old so-and-so would just go to the altar, what a service we could have. I'll tell you what'll happen if we'll forget about so-and-so, go to magnifying our Savior. Let God deal with the needs of others. Get your eyes focused on who the Lord is. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Jacob here wasn't hanging his head in shame. God was not just a mere memory that was in his mind, but God was real to him. Even as he was fixing to cross the river, he remembered when God appeared to him there in Luz at Bethel. God made an appearance. Great God, I remember that night when he came to where I said that ought to live in us. Why to worship him and bless him for what he's done. Jacob was not coming down to the end of his life full of regrets and apologizing for failure. Oh no. He said, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac hath blessed me. And he said, has fed me all my life long unto this day. And the angel that redeemed me out of all of my troubles, he'll bless these lads. Great God, the Lord ought to be bigger to us now than he's ever been in our life. Ought not to hang our heads in shame. Ought not to hang our heads in defeat. But we ought to have a Savior that we're proud of and grateful to for what he's done in our life. Somebody said, well, if the Lord had just touched my grandson, bring him back to church. No, what God wants you to do is just go ahead and worship him and draw nigh to him, and then let God do the work on the grandchildren or the son or daughter. Hallelujah. There's a worshiping God that day. And because of worship, God administered his blessings. When Abraham was traveling up Mount Moriah with Isaac by his side, Isaac said, I see the wood and the knife and the fire, but where is the sacrifice? Abraham said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And on top of that mountain, when Abraham was fixing to take his life, they were in the process of worship, and there was a ram called in the thicket, and Abraham offered up the ram. I'm glad in a time of worship, God makes his provision. God bestows his favor and his blessings on our life. Would you stand tonight? Miss Fox, would you come around? Sing a little bit for us. If you want to sing that song, Redeemed, or if you've got something else on your heart, just sing it for us for invitation. I appreciate this dear wife of Brother Buddy. I appreciate this couple. They've been a blessing to my life. And thank God for people that have fought the battle and weathered the storms, beat back the briars for you and I to have a place to come to worship. Stood for old time religion. Hey, thank God somebody prayed for us. Somebody stood in the gap. Somebody helped us along the way. We've got a Savior tonight that ought to be praised. We got a Savior tonight who brought us into his family. Ought to show our gratitude, our appreciation. He deserves our worship tonight. While she sings, God's a speaking to your heart. Would you come tonight? He's speaking to you.
I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Jesus.
That's right.
has changed my whole life.
Thank God.
On Calvary's tree, he died there for me. And now I know that I am redeemed.
Amen. Don't you remember that
peace
night,
that abides. Day? I'm walking
bless his name.
With Jesus, for I'm a child of the King, and it's because that I am redeemed.
Thank God tonight, he's speaking
to
your heart.
I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Jesus has changed my
listen now.
I'll tell of his mercy, and I'll tell of his love. For God has been so good to me. He purchased my pardon with his precious
thank God.
Blood. And from sin and shame, he set me free.
He surely did. Thank God tonight.
I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. On Calvary's tree, he died there for me. And now I know that I
God we have.
Amen.